Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Yeah. We got a fun one today. One of our favorite actors of all time, Richard Reilly, is here. You know him from Range 15, but you also know him from Office Space. Let's face it. He's the jump to conclusions guy. I'm a people person. Love Richard, man. He's one of our favorite people on this planet. Been in a bunch of our stuff, and amped to have him on the show today. But first, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put a little BRCC in that mug and get your day started. Made with the hands of veterans. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com now. Sign up for their Coffee Club of the Month program, man. It's the jam. Also, Burt Koontz has a new blend with them called Smoke Hammer. They're really selling the shit out of that. And I'm amped, man. Burt and the boys are opening up a new coffee shop in Sheridan, Wyoming in June. And super stoked for those guys. Proud of them. Proud of Black Rifle Coffee. Support the company. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com right now. Sign up. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS20 for 20% off. Next up, we got GhostBed.com/DRINKINBROS. Woohoo! Sleep's so good, it's scary. Big things are popping off with GhostBed, man. We're doing a big deal with them coming up next month. And couldn't be more stoked about it. You guys love them. We love them. It's probably the best feedback we've ever gotten besides Black Rifle to every single product we've had on the show. Every single sponsor we've had on the show of like, hey, man, the Ghost Bed was the shit. Thanks for not lying to me. Of course, I wouldn't do that to you. Also, the fact that they, you know, put up a thing on their website for a permanent 15% off for all military and first responder is amazing, man. If you're a military first responder, 15% off forever. That's like an extra $200 savings on all of this shit. More if you're getting the bundle packages, man, with the adjustable bases and the mattress and the pillows. Also, 36-month, no interest, pay-as-you-go program. No one is doing that on the internet. If you need a mattress, they are the finest in the land. They got the cooling sheets up in that bitch, too. And if you're a regular civilian like myself, they got deals. $100 off the classic mattress, $200 off the Ghost Lux, and they're always throwing in free pillows, and the free pillows are just as good as the bed. Go to GhostBed.com/DrinkingBros today and get on it, man. Love those guys. Next up, we got Raycon. Love Raycon. They are new to the show. They are true to the show. Headphones, man, finally at a fucking decent price. I love these goddamn things. Look, full disclosure, we reached out to Beats by Dre and said, hey, man, Can we get a discount for our listeners on these headphones? Everybody works out. Everybody's always wearing headphones everywhere they go these days. And they were like, no, because we're Apple and we don't really give a shit. Then we hit up Snoop Dogg's company. It's Snoop Dogg, Ray J, and like Cardi B in them. And I was like, dude, everybody's wearing these fucking things. Will you give us a discount? They're like, yes, absolutely. And our headphones are way cheaper than Beats by Dre. I was like, how much are your headphones? They're like $70. And I was like, dope. Can we get a fucking 20% off of that as well? They're like, yes, you can. Finally, we got a headphone company that looks cool, stylish. You can get that shit wet. You can sweat in it. You could hammer away all day long. You can listen to the podcasts in them. Go to buyraycon, that's RAYCON.com. That is buyraycon.com. And buy / drinking bros. Get these today, dude. Get them today. Go to buyraycon.com / drinking bros. 20% off headphones, man. And they're cool as shit. They look great. You can work out in them. I love them. I can't recommend these headphones enough. And I'm glad they're on the show. I don't need Beats by Dr. Dre anymore. Because I'm buying my headphones at buyraycon.com / drinking bros. You get 20% off. That brings the headphones down like $50 or something. It's awesome, man. Love this company. Last but not least, we interrupt this podcast to give you a very special announcement about boners.
Okay, cool. I'll talk about dicks, boners, soft dicks.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. Look, I'm guilty of it myself. I try to pick up an entire mountain on my own. No bigs, got a little hurt, didn't see the doctor. But the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online.
Treat your boner.
Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door.
Ooh, dick doctors.
With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy.
You can stay in the closet.
You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/drinkingbros, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved erectile dysfunction meds delivered right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging.
Come on, little guy. What are you waiting for?
Guys, go online, get checked out by a doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it.
Yep, we're still talking about hard dicks.
For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros. That's GetRoman.com/drinkingbros for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/drinkingbros to help your boner.
I'm gonna shoot.
Here is Richard Reilly.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Good night.
Hey.
Oh, it's morning.
Night.
It's morning,
it's
Jerry.
Night. It's morning.
Oh, is that why the sun? Is out there?
Sun's up.
So what were you thinking? Maybe the sun was confused and you were right about what time of day it was?
Yes, that was exactly my train of thought.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, not a prayer. We're here with one of our favorites. You know him from Range 15. Richard Reilly. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
God, you're one of our favorite humans on this earth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. We loved working with you in Range 15. Obviously, Helen Keller versus Night Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many movies we've done together.
And you've also had a mustache for like 80 years now. Yeah, so yeah. That's we really respect mustaches more than anything in this world. Although, that's our favorite thing.
Mine was a real mustache. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
We've almost had like a steady incline of famous stashes.
We have.
Yeah. With Steve.
We had Steve Lemmy on yesterday Super Troopers.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a stash. Not as strong as yours.
And he talked about someone who had... Yeah, you were talking about that. Somebody had to use a fake stash because they didn't have time to grow a real one.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. For
Remy Malek.
That should have went into his Oscar performance. You know,
there should be an asterisk.
If you can't grow a real stash for Freddie Mercury, you should have won the Oscar. In my opinion,
can't grow a real stash. Can't sing. Can't dance.
You should.
Is that guy really like that?
Yes.
He can't sing.
He did not sing.
He said that at the beginning. I don't know why you're offering me this role. I can't sing. I can't dance.
Can't say, yeah, so all of it is lip synced. Can't dance. And then what happened was it was Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to do it for 7 years. Last second, they hated the Queen. The rest of the band shut down the script and said no, because I guess it was too much about Freddie Mercury and AIDS. And they were like, it's about the band. It's like nobody fucking cared about the band.
Yeah, what was their guitar player's name?
You got me on that one.
No. Yeah. It wasn't about the band. Yeah.
It wasn't about the band.
Now, so I understand their heartache because, I mean, they played a major role in a lot of the writing that. Like, I know the guitarist and the drummer were huge into, let's do this. Or, what do you guys think of this? And that sucks when it's just one dude is all anybody cares about. And you're like, but I wrote that song.
But it was one of those things where... Sacha Baron Cohen had grown the mustache. I mean, he was taking vocal lessons for years, like, and then just chucked. And then they were like, "Look, you either do this script the way that was, or we're gonna get somebody else." And he was like, "You guys can go fuck yourself," which is amazing for him.
Yeah.
But not a lot of actors can get away with that. And then the fact that he won the Oscar after that, like, shit.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to learn to sing or dance or grow a real mustache.
No, he
Then what did he really do?
He lip synced.
Or grow 6 inches.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That was crazy. Has there anything, like, been any movies that big that you were up for that you were like, man, that could have been me?
The closest one, I think, was and this is a million years ago, was Phenomenon. The
John Travolta, right?
Yeah, John Travolta. Yeah.
Where he gets the brain tumor.
Yeah. It's a great movie. That was a great movie,
I love it.
Yeah, he's spinning the pencil with his hands.
Yeah.
And I got a call. I less often now, but I used to sometimes get calls. Could I come for a table read to fill in because they didn't have a character cast or something? So I got a call. Would I come and read this role of the doctor in this? And so I get there, and it's up in the top floor, Eisner's room at the top of Disney. There, you got to go up past the Seven Dwarfs, and there's this huge table, and you know all these name cards around it. And so I'm looking for my name card, and I sit there, and it's me and John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker, and I go, what is this? He said, "Well, you're reading the doctor." I said, "Okay," and so all the other people that were there for the read had been cast in it, and so afterwards, a bunch of them that I knew came up to me and said, "Oh, are you going to do this role? That's great. Are you going to do this role?" I said, "No, I haven't heard anything about it." And so then I'm getting ready to go to the elevator, and John Turteltaub, who directed it, comes down to the elevator. He says, "That was great. That was terrific." I said, "Well, thank you very much for the opportunity." And I called my agent when I got back, and I said, you know, what's going on? They said, well, they haven't cast this role yet. I said, well, you know, submit me, you know. And they called back, and he said, well, they said, yeah, you don't have to come in. You just read the thing with the people. If it comes up, it is fine. Evidently, it was out to Bobby Duvall, and he just was taking his time making a decision. And then he decided he was going to do it.
Yeah. Fuck. Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Oh, no. It's not. That's the whole point. I said, you know, me, Robert Duvall, come on.
I'd put you in the same class, Richard. You've been in everything. How many movies? 300?
Yeah, something like that.
It is literally over 300. If you go to IMDb, it is astounding. I think it's you and Danny Trejo who are neck and neck.
I've done 7 with Danny.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
300.
Like 300 movies.
Have you watched That's a very Spartan amount.
Isn't it? Isn't
of
it?
Of movies.
Yeah.
Have you been to Danny's donut shop?
I've been to the one down on Santa Monica.
Is it good or what? Have you been? I haven't been.
It's fine. What's great is you know, you get your donut in a little bag. It's got Danny's picture stamped on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
He's become a branding machine.
Yeah.
His agent, Gloria Hinojosa, she does a lot of it behind the scenes that you don't really see. Mm-hmm. But like, she's been really good about branding him because he's got that taco place.
Yeah.
He's got the donuts place.
Right.
And I believe he's got a coffee coming out.
Well, he's got the coffee with the at the donut place.
Is it? Do they sell the bags with his face on it?
Yes, they do.
They do. Yeah. So that was it. Yeah. I saw that in her office, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah.
He's doing everything.
Yeah.
Days.
Plus, you know, plus he's a producer now too. He produces almost every movie he's in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's God. He's got to be what 70? I think he's 71 now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think we're the same age. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow, you don't look 71. Yeah.
Had a lot of work done.
How many premieres have you gone to of movies you were in?
Not a lot, and it's not necessarily by choice, but fortunately, you know, knock wood. Usually, I'm working. And so I can't make it. The next one that's coming up that I should be able to make, I hope, is a movie called Limbo, which is going to be at the Beverly Hills Film Festival the 3rd of April, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. How many times have you played Santa?
12 or 13.
No way.
Yeah.
13 Santa Claus movies?
And the only reason I know that is that I was doing publicity for a movie called Bear City 2. And that was the question that they asked every single time, was how many Santas have you done? I why are you asking how many Santas I've done? But
yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have a very Santa-ish quality where you're like, all right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I just did one last year. We shot it up in Victoria. And it was... another talking, singing dogs one. It's called Pup Star for the Christmas Special. And they get Santa Claus to come and be a guest on the Christmas Special.
I gotcha. Yeah, dogs and Christmas movies go well. I remember that's what I was always pitched. If you could just do dogs and Christmas movies, you would crush. That and Christian movies.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about this earlier before you came in. You're starring in something or just finished something where guys are trying to make a Christian movie?
Oh yeah, no, it's we're it's in development now.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where they're always asking, hey, man, can we tap into this audience? Because you can show it around the world.
Oh, exactly.
Were you ever in Seventh Heaven?
I was.
Oh, man.
See, you could play this game with
him. Yeah, it is. You can almost name every movie and be like, hey.
Yeah, I did actually one episode that might have turned into a spinoff, and I would have been I was the mayor of this town that a couple of them come to visit and look about as setting up a job there. It was their last season, and it was fun. The girl that lived next door to me had become a sort of semi regular on it. She was somebody's babysitter. I can't remember her name.
He definitely is the one that, like, over the last couple of years, you'll be watching whatever,
yeah,
and just see him pop in, and I'm like,
oh yeah, I mean,
like you're sitting at a party waiting for him to show up, like, where the fuck is he? And you see him always on fucking TV right now,
again, yeah, because you like, but I'm talking like old school. I remember seeing you. When I was a kid in Glory, they showed it in my history class.
God, what a great fucking movie that
great
was.
Great movie. You were amazing in it.
That was a really interesting experience because I was in New York at the time working, and I got this audition, and I went in to read for the quartermaster, and Ed Zwick essentially gave me the role then. He said, everybody else has come in, has played him as this racist asshole, and you played him as a bureaucrat. And you know, and that's what we were looking for.
That's
actually more accurate from our experience in the military. Supply guys are like the biggest.
They're the biggest pinchers.
Yep.
But barterers.
Like, yeah, they barter. Like, so if you were trying to come get gear from me, I would give you the least amount possible. But if I'm going out to find gear, I steal as much shit as I can find. That's how those guys are.
Really? Even dating all the way back then.
Oh yeah, dude.
That's never
a good
changed.
Supply guy in the military is a total criminal.
Well, it's like no, it's like I'm a serious line producer.
Yeah.
Anything you make overage is yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Jeez, man! When I saw that movie, I remember thinking
I
to myself,
start going through
like,
this list.
What's that?
I want to start going.
Yeah.
Pull up his list. I want to find some weird shit.
When I saw that movie, I knew that was going to win, you know, a gajillion Oscars and all that other stuff. Did you know at the time?
Yes, it was the most incredible script I had ever read, and it was just amazing. And first time I read it, and then when I was flying down to Savannah to shoot it, reading it on the plane again, it was just amazing. I couldn't get over how good it was, and they went out of their way to make everything you know absolutely right. They did all this research, and people complained about Matthew Broderick, but I've seen pictures of the guy. He looked exactly like
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then they shot everything except the final attack in Savannah, in and around Savannah, and they were open to anything. It snowed for the first time in 25 years while they were shooting, and they wrote this scene of him walking through the camp in the snow, you know, and it was just everything was special about it, and they had incredible cinematographer, and then the music was amazing, and he put together a great cast, and then he hired 10 African American actors that he called the A Troop. And they went and they did all of the training with the principals, and they were always set up right around them. You wouldn't be aware necessarily of that, but so that the actors would have somebody that they could play to all the time, and not just an extra, you know, but a real actor.
Yeah.
And then it was the first movie that hired reenactors, and they had like four.
Oh, I didn't know that. They hired actual Civil War reenactors?
They had 400 reenactors. Did all,
wow.
Did all this stuff.
Huh. Well, they come with their own costumes.
They came with their own costumes. And that was the only thing because they were good about it. They weren't, you know, they didn't get in the way. But they were constantly saying, you shouldn't have, that's the wrong button.
Because
they knew.
I bet they saved a fuckload of money doing that.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's genius.
Yeah,
and it's a dream for them, too.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And they were great. I mean, they were there. They were camping. You know, they actually camped out.
Yeah.
You know,
and
on,
they wanted
on the set
to. They wanted to go up in a hotel. Yeah. They set up a camp.
God, man. So food. As a producer, I'm thinking food's the only thing you paid for. Maybe some makeup here and there, but that had to be those guys' dream.
Oh, like, it was. Yeah, but it was everybody's. I mean, it was. You know, everybody everybody wanted so much to be part of it, and that was again the only disappointment. It was a great film. Everybody was so excited about it, and it was sort of became, in a sense, this year's Oscars, because Glory was the best picture. There's no question.
Right.
Not Driving Miss Daisy, but Driving Miss Daisy was more palatable.
Right. Yeah, and then look, you know, you had this year's Reverse Driving Miss Daisy, where, that one, and it's essentially the same movie, except a white guy's driving a black guy in this one.
Yeah.
Did you know Denzel was going to win the Oscar for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it could have been Morgan. I mean, both those guys were incredible all the way through it. I mean, they were just so totally there all the time. And then the other two, Andre Brouwer and Jimmy Kennedy, who made up the four guys, were incredible, too.
I mean, Andre Brouwer could have been nominated as well.
He could have been nominated as well.
Man, he was great in that movie.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Denzel?
Denzel was terrific. I didn't have too much with him. Most of my stuff was with Matthew.
Yeah.
I had one scene, and it was the three of them, and they essentially keep anybody from coming in while Matthew does his second attempt to get boots.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't have much direct contact with them, but they were there all the time. Everybody was there all the time because they wanted to be part of the process.
Was that one of your favorites? Looking back, like
it was an incredible movie to start with. I mean, that was my first major film, and I remember I couldn't make the premiere, so I went and saw it in a movie theater, and it was a pretty full house, and it was the first time I'd ever heard myself booed when I came on the screen, for the second scene because they. And it was great. I mean, the fact that that had that much impact on.
Yeah. That's amazing. Did you look
it up? Yeah. Let's go from, if we're going to go Glory, let's go in order of like import Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That was an amazing film. What happened was I was in New York doing Iceman Cometh. And I put myself, and I'd gone to an audition and been put on tape there. And I had done an episode of the TV show that Rob and Ron Anyhow, they did this TV show for a couple seasons. Jim Burrows was the director, and I played this guy that was a drunk at some bar, and they come in and they're looking for an edge about this game, and I give them this long spiel about the grass, this, that, and the other thing, and they say, we know we got it, and then I turn to the guy next to me and say something incredibly stupid about being a corps de ballet dancer or something, and then of course they bet and they lose all their money, and he remembered me. Rob remembered me from that, and he called me up after the audition came on. And he said, "You know, you look just like my dad. I really would love it if you would come and play the dad." And so it was kind of
Rob Schneider said that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and so it was kind of complex. Getting out of a couple of performances in New York to come out and shoot the first week and then go back and finish Iceman Cometh and come back and finish the movie. But it was such a fun movie to be on. It was nuts. It was absolutely totally crazy. I mean, the bathroom scene where they were putting all the noise effects in and every story that Deuce's dad tells, Bob Bigelow tells, is just this side of being salacious, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Rob, who wrote it, kept cracking up, it was fun to do. I had such a great time doing it. Yeah.
And then Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Oh boy! So you're talking to a guy who just loves Transformers.
Hey.
The life itself.
Well, this was I didn't know what to expect. I was going into it, and everybody said, "Oh my God, be prepared. It's going to be craziness." And so
why is that?
Michael Bay?
Michael Bay and the yeah.
And it was for me. And I don't know what it was like for everyone, but for me, it was like 180 degrees different. I got there, and there's a knock on my trailer door, and it's Michael Bay and Wahlberg, and they come in and they say, "We just want to tell you how excited we are. You're doing this role. We know it's not a big role, but we think you're just we really are happy you're doing it. If there's anything,
no shit,
if there's anything you need, just please let us know." Da da da. And so we get to this theater in North Chicago, and it's been closed for 40 years, and it's covered in dust, and it's got no, it's five stories, and there's no elevators or anything, and so they're dragging all this equipment in, and Bay always wants to have a camera in his hand. He's constantly shooting something,
Oh, really? So he just walks around?
Walks around with
yeah, right.
Oh, that's cool.
Well,
shit.
No, he'll pick one up. They have all these cameras lined up with different lenses on them, so it's already lensed. And he says, "I want the throw." And they go, "Boom! Here it is." And he's shooting.
No DP, just himself.
Oh no, there's a DP. He just wants to be. He's just part of it.
Oh wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you hear all these shitty stories about him. And,
The day before I got there, they had shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway to shoot some stunt, and the whole city of Chicago was upset with him.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
That traffic going in and out of there is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So overall, the experience was...
It was a great experience. And like I said, they had to haul things up. The final scene where I'm in the booth looking down on the stage was... six stories up, and they had to haul everything up six stories of stairs.
What they should have done is had the Transformers move the stuff up for them.
Why didn't they? Works. I don't know.
Like, you've got these alien robots.
Yeah.
Why not
that are
use them?
Really strong.
They're not even sacks, so you don't have to pay them that
but
much.
Also, it's just one swipe for them.
Right. Yeah, that's all it is.
Exactly.
It would work.
Let's call Michael Bay.
Let's get him on the horn. He's not doing anything.
You called Steven Seagal the other day.
Does he have a lens flare machine physically there with you when you're doing it?
Yeah, because you know he loves those lens flares.
Yeah,
no, but if you go to craft services, it's all explosives.
Yeah, how's he always doing those lens flares all the time?
I don't know, but yeah.
Well, look, everybody knows you, like, forever from Office Space. Mm. And that was, I mean, you're probably, what, 10 years into your career at that point, 15 years?
Well, it was 99, so I came out here in 89. So, yeah, it was 10 years since I came out to L.A. I'd been doing theater and some little films before then, but, yeah, that's when I first started doing that.
And any expectation when you signed on for that, that would be as big as it is?
No, that it would be fun. I mean, Mike Judge took a long time casting it, and I think I was in three times. The first time I went in, I read for Tom Spakowski and the psychiatrist. And then the next two times, I just read for Tom. And when he cast the show, he got in contact with everybody and said, look, we're going to Austin. It's my hometown. We're going to have a great time. I'll show you, you know, where we best places to eat and where, you know, my band used to play. And we're going to work hard, but we're going to play hard. And there's not going to be any suits around to look over our shoulders. And that's exactly what the experience is like. We got there and it was just one, we all stayed in the same hotel right on the river there. And it was great. And since so many of us were involved in so many scenes, we were always hanging out together. And it became just a wonderful experience. So all in all, but when it was done, we went back several times doing ADR because the studio wanted to cut it. They said this is a summer film. If we can cut it under 90 minutes, we can have an extra screening. Blah blah blah.
Right.
And Michael delivered. I don't know what he had delivered. Some I'm sure it was great. And they said, no, we need to cut. And he was meticulous. He would try and keep every scene and cut little bits beginning and end and yet keep the core of the scene so that he kept his movie. And they made him do it again after he delivered that one, and he was not happy about that. And so
I'm sure, because that dude's a genius. And then I'm sure he's just like, hey, man, giving you what I'm giving you.
Yeah, he knows the stuff completely. I mean, like, and he knows how to do it. When we began the Bob's scenes, where the Bob's come in and interview, I was the guinea pig. I was the first one they interviewed, and so we did one take with Paul and John, doing it with me, and Mike said, okay, that's a good start, and John said, how about if we improvise a little bit. And Mike said, okay, go ahead. So there were about, I think, 20 minutes of improvisations where the two of them, went at it with me, and we went back and forth, and a lot of it was good. And then Mike said, okay, good. Now that we've got warmed up, let's do it the way it was written.
Really?
And that's how we ended up doing it.
So was I'm a People Person? Was that it, that was in the script?
Yeah.
It was, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Let me ask you this. Are you still making residuals from the Jump to Conclusions, Matt?
Nobody knows where the Jump to Conclusions mat is.
The original from the
original.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
some asshole.
Somebody
AE
swiped
stole
it from
that
set.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, from Range 15, we got half our shit stolen.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, we found what
started popping up on eBay.
Yeah, Randy Couture's head.
Oh wow!
From that fight scene,
that was an expensive.
And then the fake dick.
Oh my god!
The fake dick that
the fake
got ripped
dick was
off.
$7,000, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a
expensive dick.
Really, really expensive dick.
Mm. Do you ever, how often do you ever run into drinking bros out there that are, that recognize you from Range 15 or anything and bring that up?
Range 15? Not so much.
Yeah, no. The movie you were in? Not at all. But no. Office Space every single day.
Well, it's
yeah, it's funny because different people are like, wow, they've said, that's all anybody talks about when I'm in an airport or something.
Oh, yeah. But it's always something different,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. There was a point when I was in New York when I was on the subways and on the street all the time, And people don't usually bother you. I mean, that's sort of a New York thing. But I could tell that they were looking and talking about me. So for a week, I thought, I'll do this non-scientific survey and see, you know, and see. And it was just, you know, I think I was still doing Grounded for Life then. So I put it all together. And it was about, at that point, it was still about 60-65% office space. They recognized you from that. Although, you know, although not always for Tom Smarkowski.
Somebody else?
Yeah, I was at a cigar place with a buddy of mine in Beverly Hills, and we're getting ready to leave. And the manager, he says, "Oh, you're gonna want to stay. Sammy Hagar is coming in, and he always brings in these gorgeous women."
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah. and so we said, "Okay, we'll have another drink." And we waited, and sure enough, he came in, and there was about six really beautiful women. Couple of big guys and Sammy, and they took a table off in the corner and they were taking care of him. My buddy says, "Okay, we see it. We can leave now." And so he said, "But I want to show you my humidor first. It's right underneath Arnold Schwarzenegger's." And so, yeah, sure enough, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then he opened up his and showed me what he had. And we turned around to leave, and three of the girls are coming in and they're looking for the bathroom. And the one stops it. "Were you in Office Space?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh, can we get your order?" I said, "Sure." "And will you put down your line about the stapler?" And I said, and I said, "You know, I really was in Office Space. That wasn't me. That was a buddy of mine, Steve Root. If you still want my signature, I'd be happy to give it to you." They said, "Oh, yeah, of course we want your signature. And you put down your line about the stapler?"
No way.
Yeah. And I said, "If you tell it to me, I'll put it down."
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. At that point, you're like, "Fuck it. I'll do that.
Where's my stapler?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, but 60% of them were Office Space. About 10 or 15% were Grounded for Life. And then it was interesting. It was whatever was on late night cable or that week. So it could be, you know, anything. It could be Deuce Bigelow. It could be Fugitive. You know, whatever. And then there was about a good 5 to 8% that thought I had taught them in middle school or worked somewhere down the block that they, you know, they went where they some deli down the block where, you know.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But it's true. There, you know, people do think they know who you are. And how they put it together is interesting because, you know, I remember, you know, when people stop sometimes for the strangest things. The Laramie, I was in Laramie, in Wyoming, shooting the Laramie Project, and there was Josh Jackson and Kenny and
it was a bunch of people in that movie.
There were tons of people in that movie that you think that, you know, that people would want to talk to. And so I saw this bunch of girls were at the bar and they kept looking over in front of the head. I got up and they came over and they ended up coming to me and they said, "Were you in Office Space?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Oh, good. Our boyfriends want to come to, you're going to be here tomorrow night. Our boyfriends want to come and see you." And there were all these, I said, "You know who these people are around this table?" You know?
Yeah, but that's one of those movies, though. Like, we, you know, again, like yeah. Super Troopers.
Yeah.
Where it just lived forever.
Still lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still lives.
And it's still great to this day because because of what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, working in an office and people hating their day jobs.
Right.
And that theme is relevant and probably will be until the robots take over.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies that are good in their time. And I don't think there's any time that Office Space won't be good.
No.
I can't imagine not being a good movie.
Same because Super Troopers.
Yeah, younger generations still will go back and watch Office Space, Super Troopers.
Yeah, the comedy translates from one generation to the next. That's a big deal to you. Yeah.
And it shows over and over and over again. I mean, Jesus, it's on Comedy Central.
It shows like all the time.
Every 2 hours.
It's about to have its 20th anniversary this year.
Are you guys going to do anything?
Mike should release the full cut of the film.
Yeah, I wish they would.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't exist.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was on film and they just pitched it.
I don't know, but they when they realized that this was a big hit and DVD had just come out, they wanted to do a you know, a release on the DVD, and they said, "Do you have any?" You know, they asked Mike if he had any scenes on, you know, and he said, "I got nothing. Like, you got everything that I, you know."
Really?
Yeah.
So and he didn't keep any of that whatsoever.
Didn't keep any of that, and then they said, "Well, will you do a commentary?" And he said, "No, but I'll do an interview for you."
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite person you've ever worked with, actor wise?
Oh wow. There was really so many. I mean it just depends. I mean, that's funny. I never think of that. You know, I guess Mike Ironsides.
Oh yeah. Michael Ironside, yeah.
Starship Troopers, baby.
You just perked up Dan real quick.
Yeah. I love Ironside. He's hilarious. Not even trying to be funny. He's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's great. And we spent one of the first big films I did here in terms of time was Free Willy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we spent...
Jared, you were on the cover of that, right? You fat fuck.
Hold me like the River Jordan. Yeah, now you go back and watch that movie. It's got so many layers now with Michael Jackson.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the whale. Because I can't believe they had sex with that. Did you know that? They had sex with that whale afterwards.
Who did?
And, I believe it was Michael Madsen. I'm kidding. He was the weirdest fit in that movie for me, where it was just like, man, he just didn't seem like he really wanted to be a dad.
Yeah.
I kind of sided with the kid who was the dirtbag in that. Where I was just like, man, if Michael Madsen's your dad, like, yeah, you should go fuck shit up and spray paint the whole place. That's one of those, too, where, like, I've got kids now. I've got two kids.
Right.
And he, you know, was watching Free Willy the other day, and I was like, man, there you are, you know? And it's hard to tell him that you're not an asshole in real life, you know? Because in that movie, you don't play too many assholes.
A few here and there, yeah.
Yeah, but in that one, you were.
In that one, it definitely was,
Do you think it would have been funny to see Michael Madsen replaying the scene from Reservoir Dogs with Free Willy?
Yeah.
Stuck in the middle, and he cuts off his dorsal fin.
Dorsal fin. We've been on a big kick of that lately, rewriting movies and making them super dark. What did you say before we came on about Bob Saget?
Yeah, I want to do a prequel to Full House, where it's, no shit, it's a young Bob Saget. He's a stand-up comedian, and you know, like, especially young stand-up comedians, very internally dark.
Yes.
That's why a lot of them get into the business. So he's internally dark, meets a woman, gets married. They have a couple of kids, and all of a sudden he starts realizing that his life has taken a different path, and he decides to fucking murder his wife. So it's like a
and then
true
he successfully
crime.
Covers it up,
yeah,
and then starts
successfully
full
covers
house.
It up, and that's where Full House starts. How fucking great would
dude,
that
why
be?
Dude, why don't we just produce something like that Will Smith thing that just came out?
Let's I was
do
the same
let's
thing.
Let's just do the trailer. Make it shoot super dramatic.
Did you see the Fresh Prince one?
Oh, yes, right.
Somebody shot a dramatic version
of
what
would
it would
you
be
watch
like
that?
Today.
I would fucking watch
the show.
I'd
watch it.
That looked great.
I'd watch that movie, too, yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like the next wave. I hit up that director on Twitter, and I was like, dude, this is incredible. And he's like, thanks, man. I was not expecting any of this whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah, because it just keeps going and going and going on YouTube and everything else. But that could be the next wave of... Because, like, if you're going to remake something, why not go super dark with it?
Dark? Like, because, you know what? I wonder if... We should look into this. I wonder if he's the same guy that did the one about the Power Rangers. Did you see the one where all the Power Rangers, like go down this super dark path? Like,
no.
Like, yeah. Like, one of them turns evil, one of them kills themselves. Like it's Whoa. Just...
The first one I remember was the Mrs. Doubtfire one. Remember when they made the dark trailer of Mrs.
No.
Doubtfire? Ooh.
That one's... Wait, I think I remember they just put, like, super dramatic, scary music to it, like as if...
And they recut it.
It
so,
was,
as if it was a hardcore horror film.
In disguise of an old
stalking
woman babysitter.
Stalking his wife and children,
But just take a moment right now and think back about the plot that I just subscribed, and then think about the Full House theme song kicking on right at the end of that movie.
Of which song?
So the one about Saget?
Yeah.
Think about, like, you watch this whole movie. And
oh,
then
and then the Full House.
The Full House theme song kicks on right at the end and just a black screen.
That'd be good.
Yeah, because if you shoot it with different actors and the kids are younger,
yeah,
like, and you just think this is a drama about a guy that kills his wife.
Yeah. Oh, dude. It would be great. It would would be really good. We just saw Us the other night, the new Jordan Peele movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, we didn't like it, but they took that song, I Got Five on it, and they made that.
That was really good. That
was really good. So, like, they made that really creepy in the film, and it just kind of kept sneaking up on you, where you were just like, ah, shit, that was genius. I read about that today. That ended up breaking every record there was, pretty much.
But do people like it? Or just,
no,
just you two that did
it? Got like
it.
A B-minus cinema score, and like people's like the reaction, because you know, like Deadline and all the trades, like they'll go through the numbers and then tell you what the audience thought of it afterwards.
Right.
So it got a B-minus cinema score, and then they said the end was really polarizing.
Yeah. Well, the B-minus is good enough, frankly, because Jordan Peele will now go on to a new genre and do something clever again, because he's a clever guy.
Is that what he's doing? Is he jumping genres? Like,
well,
he
was straight up sketch comedy, and then he went to horror for that last film and this one. And I guarantee you,
what's
he's going to jump.
This one's horror.
It's horror.
Yeah. It's a horror movie. But
he's going to go to like a psychological thriller next, is my guess. Not horror though.
Yeah, I think
he's doing the
Twilight Zone series.
See, I mean, I didn't even know that, but that would be my logical.
So they're redoing the Twilight Zone series, and they got a bunch of interesting actors that are doing that. It said CBS, and then later on I read CBS All Access.
All Access, yeah.
Which is for their app. And I'm like, man, is everybody going to an app?
Yeah, it looks like
Disney's pulling all their shit off Netflix and everywhere else and creating their own app, too.
Yeah,
now.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
All the Marvel
because they
stuff
own Fox
gone.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the Marvel stuff is fucking, like in a month, I think, is disappearing.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Like, because it kills residuals and everything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, streaming is what it is. They've got the union or somebody has got to figure out a way to do it. You're constantly being told, well, there's no way we can determine how much it was seen or what percentage goes to the actors and that. So you're kind of stuck with it. It's like Showcase contract for theater. They're saying, oh, well, you're getting exposure. People will see you and use you in
and
something.
Puts you in other things. And you're probably like, motherfucker,
I've been
71 years old.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm good on exposure. I actually need a paycheck now at this point.
Tell me about it. You really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, you go through the television, there's 800 apps on your thing. Well, and it's like, oh, even actor friends of mine who are just like, watch this on Hulu or X, Y, and Z, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not even subscribed to half that shit.
I mean, the solution is obvious to me. You and people like you get together with some of your director producer friends and make your own shit and then sell it to, because fuck the studios now, right?
Yeah, but you've got to figure out how to monetize it.
It's selling it to the platforms, but again, long-term monetization from that is tricky. As we know.
It is, yeah. I mean, look, because a lot of people don't know this. Like, if you sell a movie to Netflix, it's like $25,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, that's it.
For an independent film. Or they want, worldwide rights for, $200,000? And then, congratulations, that's it. Because once it's on Netflix, it's over.
It's over.
You don't make any more.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mother's got Netflix.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. What's your craziest rap party?
My craziest rap party? Well, we had a pretty good one for Now Apocalypse. That's a Stars series that's going on right now, actually, that Greg Araki wrote and produced, and it's nuts. It's sci-fi sex stuff. The whole thing is
what kind of sex stuff?
Also, all kind of
when
sex
you say
stuff.
Sex
like
stuff, that really opens the door. Yeah, does anybody fuck a robot?
Fucked by robots.
Really?
Oh,
there we go. Now you're talking Jared's language, right there.
Or aliens. It's high. They haven't really
determined.
Who
it is.
We've
got this theory. Did you watch that interview that Alex Jones did on Joe Rogan's show? It's just madness. You got to go watch it on YouTube. It's really fun.
It's 5 hours though, so buckle up.
It is. Okay. But he talks about how there's a government facility in San Francisco where we're negotiating with aliens.
Yeah.
Right? And our plan, or not plan really, but our idea is that somebody's got to fuck these aliens, right? To show dominance.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
and to ensure that our currency is always worth more.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because otherwise, alien currency, we're going to get dicked over.
Yeah. They're also going to think we're a bunch of bitches if we don't try to bang them first.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, what happens in intergalactic war, and they're like, well, they fucked us first, so I guess.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
And then we start having kids with them.
And then they have the dominant genes, and there's nothing you can do with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This rap party, how to get coke or what went on?
I don't know everything that was going on there, but it was at the Palladium. And
oh, all right. Yeah. Shit. That's crazy. They rented the whole Palladium. Yeah.
And they had they sort of had a de facto red carpet in front of the Palladium with one of the aliens or whatever it was out there. And but then the security was so huge. It was unbelievable. I had to go back around outside the Palladium to get my to determine that I was actually on the list and then be able to go back in again. And then they screened three of the episodes. It's a 10 episode miniseries. And then it was the first time I'd seen it where everybody had their own earphones and played whatever music you wanted to play on it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
That's cool. What are the options on something like that?
I think there were four or five different ones. There was a jazz option. There was a hip hop option. There was, you know.
So was everybody just walking around with headphones in there the whole time?
More or less, yeah.
Wow, that's wild. I went to a restaurant in Indiana once that was like that.
Uh-huh.
Weird. Was it like, yeah. Were there no lights? Was it one of those?
Correct.
Yeah. Ah.
Those are pretty rad, yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's an experience.
It's one of those.
Like, don't do it more than once, probably.
Exactly. So, and they were, but it was plugged into vinyl. So they were playing actual albums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, whatever you ordered depended, like, that determined what the music was.
Yeah.
For different senses.
I like that.
Yeah, I know you
I'm
do.
Into it. I would take a bunch of mushrooms and then go do that.
He's a big mushroom guy, by the way.
I just like to hallucinate. I don't care what the drug is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite hallucinogen?
God, man, it just depends. Acid, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were doing acid right now, would anybody know?
No.
You're not one of those people?
Not at all. No, I mean, it depends on the mood I'm in. If I'm in a giggly mood, you're going to, because I'm so stone-faced all the time, you would be able to tell that I'm altered.
Gotcha.
But if I was introspective or thinking about science or something, it would just be like normal, because that's who I am. I'm a fucking weirdo nerd, so.
Yeah, because I get friends who wake and bake all day.
Yeah.
I don't know how they.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't either.
I can't.
Can't get anything accomplished.
No.
Nothing.
No, you
whatsoever.
Just want to nap and eat.
Yeah. All day long, but like, dude,
work.
I never knew they were high. I worked with this one editor, and turned out the whole entire, it was a 4-month gig, and for post production on this TV show, it turned out he was eating brownies every day, and I just thought he had a sweet tooth.
Yeah,
I was just like, man, this fucking dude loves to eat brownies. And then towards like the last week, he was just like, oh no, I've been getting high at like all day long.
Yeah,
like this is the only way I could do a job like this. And I was like, fuck, all right, good on you.
I don't know if I could go marijuana edibles all day every
no,
day.
Never.
No,
honestly.
Never.
I mean, I did acid every single day for a year, but I don't know if I could do the edible thing. Is different. That's a different kind of trip.
You just can't control it.
There's too much body stuff going on.
Yeah. You live here, LA, full time.
Yeah.
Since they legalized weed and all that shit, is it pretty prevalent?
Smell it everywhere.
Every single place you go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't care where they're doing it.
No.
No. We were at Arclight the other night, just people just vaping in the right outside. No,
right
nobody
outside,
really
exactly.
cares anymore.
Yeah,
strange, isn't it?
It is. It is weird. Yeah,
because you grew up in the '60s.
I grew up in the '60s. Yeah.
So was it like that then, where everybody was just smoking weed outside?
Well, yeah. Although it was illegal, you could end up, you know, in jail for a long time if they got caught. But yeah, people, you know, people kind of were willing to do it pretty much wherever or whenever. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever go to Woodstock or anything like that?
I didn't go to Woodstock. I was actually, I was doing theater at the time, and a bunch of the, I was doing summer stock, and a bunch of the people that I had worked with that year prior to that were there. And so I was very disappointed that I'd chosen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but I remember going to a party, and this was, I think this was in Seattle, and there was there was going to be a lot of drugs at the party, but I wasn't paying attention. I got in and was talking to people, and there was a plate of brownies, and I grabbed a brownie, you know, and I ate the brownie. I said, oh, that's pretty good. And I grabbed another brownie, ate the brownie.
Uh-oh.
And somebody was going by with what I thought was a plate of crudités.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, carrots. Yeah.
Come on, guys.
What?
carrots. Yeah. I know. I just said that for Jared's sake because he doesn't know. He doesn't know normal English words, so you have to. You can't say words like that around him. You have to tell him what it is.
Well, the problem was that these were mushrooms.
Ooh,
wow!
And so I took a couple, and you know, and then was drinking something, and all of a sudden, I remember getting into this long conversation with somebody about anthracite and bituminous coal, and then. And the air was becoming like corduroy. And
the air was becoming corduroy. I like that.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I like that.
So what, did you freak out or did you know what was happening?
No, then somebody else came by with a bunch of needles and he thought it was just started.
Yeah.
Went straight to his heart.
So you rode that evening out.
I rode that evening out, but I remember going out back. We were up on the top of Queen Hill. I remember going out back and there was a
fireworks.
Tower there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, and looking up at the tower for a
That's
long
the best
time.
Place in the city to watch the fireworks during 4th of July, by the way, at Queen Anne Hill. If you're ever in Seattle for 4th of July or Independence or on New Year's or anything,
yeah, that's the jam.
Yep.
That's the jam.
I've been up there just
really?
High as fuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Watching fireworks, enjoying himself alone.
Yeah.
Well, I was with other people, but I was alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had my force field of drugs around me.
Yeah.
Good thing you got that force field.
Yeah, you're like a Kid Cudi video. I love it. I love it so much, dude. Whatever's going on in your mind, D'Anthony, I love it so much. So
I'm here for you, buddy.
Any other stories, like crazy stories that you had growing up?
Oh, jeez. I remember floods when I was quite a bit younger, and remember my sister falling out of the car one day as we were driving somewhere.
Your sister fell out of a moving vehicle?
Yeah,
this is something you left out. How did she fall out of the car?
I guess she was leaning on the door and must have hit the door handle and just kind of stepped out of the car.
And that was it.
Yeah. Well, she ended up standing and it rolled over one of her feet, and you know did some damage, but wasn't.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Is she alive today?
Yeah.
Okay. So she made it through.
She made it through.
She made it
from the car.
Yeah. You know? She's fine.
Fell from the car. I mean, they were doing that to each other in Jackass.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's hit each other with a car.
I'm surprised you've never fallen out of a car.
I haven't fallen out of a car. I've jumped out of one.
A moving vehicle?
Yeah.
How fast were you going?
About 30.
Did you PLF out of my car one time? PLF is parachute landing falls. So I feel like I was driving and you opened the door and jumped out and did a parachute landing fall out of my car.
I mean, possibly. I mean,
what happened when you jumped out of that car going 30?
We had been drinking.
We were jumping into a hill that had tall grass. Like, you're fine. You just roll.
Okay.
But, I mean, we were filming it for our skate video.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, you know, we got to be bam.
Yeah. I thought I was going to die the other day at Matt's house with that razor.
You probably were going.
That fucking thing goes fast.
But
man,
you can tip it really easily and you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah, right.
No.
A harness.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing at all whatsoever. Yeah. There was a seatbelt in it.
Yeah, but you weren't using it.
No, I wasn't. And I didn't know Homeboy was going to go that fast. I didn't know how fast those things
went.
With
inexperienced drivers.
Yeah. Well,
not race car drivers.
No, it was Jeremy, the MMA guy. He had no experience in
those
things.
In general, like most people don't know how to drive all-wheel drive off-road vehicles with a lot of power.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they go super fast.
Yeah.
Real quick. Let me ask you this, Richard.
Yeah.
What's the favorite movie that you've done with me, with the big guy here?
I don't know. I have to say Helen Keller.
Yeah, there we go.
Can you give me Repube?
Oh, from FDR American. Were you in FDR American Badass? Which one were you in then?
I was one of the
He's
senators.
In the beginning.
Yeah. I was
right. You got killed.
I got killed.
Yeah. Because there's always, every
sick goblins.
Yeah. You know it's shit goblins, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, shit goblins.
But I think he says sick goblins.
You're one of those people that I always save something in, like, no matter what, in every single movie.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. There's certain actors where you're just like, dude, I know you're going to be great no matter what. Mm. Remember in Keller, I saved all your scenes for the end of the night because when you start to get to the end, you don't want to go over budget.
Right.
You've got to save it for the best actor, and I didn't want to tell anybody else. So I was like, dude, we've got to have Richard close out the night or we're fucked. That like that's how good you are all the time.
Jesus, thanks, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, man, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is this point in the show we do the drinking bro of the week,
okay.
Which is somebody that inspired you or helped you come up in your career. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
You know, I would probably give it to Michael Ironside because after we did Free Willy, he kind of pointed me in the right direction for a lot of things that otherwise wouldn't happen. And I remember one time I was complaining because I had just gotten this heavy jacket from The Fugitive, and it said The Fugitive. And I said, Mike, I got all of these heavy-duty clothes in the closet, and I can't wear them. Can't wear them here. He says, well, I'm doing a movie in Chicago. Let me see if there's something for you. And sure enough, I get this call from the casting director and said, can you play a 75-year-old man in the scene? And, you know, there was no reason that they would bring somebody in from L.A. to do this scene in Chicago. But, you know, he had convinced the guy that he needed me to do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. is he still working today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing right now. He's been doing... He did a number of games.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah.
What's a game?
Like video games.
Video games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Like,
yeah. And he had.
He's got a great voice. So.
Oh, he's got an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but these are live action.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but he also does voices.
Yeah, he was in the Call of Duty series, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe it was either that one or Battlefield, one of the two.
Yeah.
And he was in Top Gun too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was also one of the leads. Remember that weird independent that made it on Netflix that was super dark about Adventure Kid or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's been in a ton of stuff, yeah.
Is he probably one of your best friends?
Well, yeah. Up until like 2 years ago, we used to watch, we got together for Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving, but definitely the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
about his place, and then he moved. He's in Newbury Park now, so we haven't gotten together in a while. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a perfect one. Perfect one. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers to Michael Ironside.
Hell yeah, Michael.
Yeah,
Richard,
definitely.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Again, one of my favorite humans on this earth.
Well,
and it's
likewise.
Always great to see you. Thanks for being on Drinking Bros.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.